Blog Talk Radio.
Talk radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. How are you? If you want to give us a call in here and give a reading, give us a call 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. And D, are you there? Hello? Hello? Well, I thought she was going to be there. Anyway, it's okay with the situation going on. I guess we'll just bear through and struggle and go and work through our tries. Anyway, anybody there? Anybody there? I guess it's one of those nights where you sit there and look at the situation and go, whoa, what is up with the situation? All right. Anyway, let's get all the information. We also have a sponsor for our show, Richard Palenka. He has a website called DivineBodyWash.com. Very spiritual and natural products, body wash, body mist, things like that. Go check it out. It's really good, really good products. Like I said, they're spiritual, they're natural, and they can just help you really put yourself into your spiritual lifestyle. of taking unnecessary chemicals out of your system, which also has been known to take, as you take more chemicals and toxins out of your system, the more that you are able to tap into your senses and all the things that go along with it. So go check it out at his website, divinebodywash.com. And he's saying for each one of the people who call in, each one of the listeners who call in and donate $25, he will give you a bottle of body mist. If you donate $35 or more, he will give you also a bottle of body mist. So check it out. Also, the situation, I also do private readings myself, and we have some really great March specials. We really have some great May specials coming in that we've been doing this month. So therefore, it's the beginning of the month. Still got plenty of time to get in there. And for a 75-minute reading, it's only $75 this month. So if you want to give us a call at 740-500-8863 and take advantage of some of our great prices. We also got 5 45-minute readings for only $100, which is a great deal. Also, if you're doing parties and group readings, too, as well, they're usually $150 a flat fee. But now, for this month, you can get them for $75. That's right. Have us at your party for only $75 for the night. You could also get 5 to 10 of your friends together for a group reading, and it's a very good experience. We're also doing a lot of work with Skype, too. So, therefore, if you want to do a one-on-one Skype reading, and still take advantage of the prices, you can do that too. And also with the group readings and parties, you can also have us there by Skype. All you have to do is have a laptop on your side, have a laptop on this side. We can be there no matter where you are in the world or the country. So give us a call, 740-500-8863, or call me through Skype at 740-601-9835. Or you can also contact me through Skype through my Skype name, which is donald.reed8. And you can also contact me through my website at www.psychicexjourneyman.com. So anyway, it goes with the situation. We have some great prizes on it. You know, I think we also have the situation of we have relationship counseling and life coaching, too, which are 90-minute sessions, which usually go for $135. You can get those now for only $75. So give us a call, 740-500-8863. Let's see if anybody's joined us. Is there anybody there? D? We were hoping, huh? Well, interesting. So, while we're sitting here waiting for Dee to show up, let's take a look at the situation. I just got my brand new cards from Doring Virtue. They're called Angel Tarot Cards. Cool. So, let's take a situation. Let's sit there and pull the cards out of the box for a minute. And let's pull a card for the day. What do you say? A card for the day. Just shuffle, shuffle. As we're shuffling, I really focus on their issues and situations that are going on and see what's up. The situation. All right. This deck just came out this month, I think. It's a really good one. I like the colors, the blues and the green. Each one of the cards, actually, if I'm sitting looking at the thing, the higher arcana cards actually have archangels on them, too. Like the Lover's card has Archangel Raphael. That's kind of cool. Healing and love and energy and manifestation of abundance and prosperity. So that can't be a bad thing. You have that kind of thing going on. All right. I think we're going to shuffle one more time. And then we're going to go right into it. So the card is for today. And so we have a little sound effects. We give us a nice little drum roll. All right. I feel like we should cut the deck. Here we go. And the card for the day is Life Experiences by Archangel Shamuel. This card here says a significant life event, a powerful revelation that leads to change. Time to spread your wings and hit the road. Embrace yourself in your life purpose, in what you're supposed to be doing. Not the idea of pondering and thinking about it, because it's one of those things, if you already came to the conclusion that this is what you're supposed to do and you haven't embraced it completely, then you're not really experiencing the full, what's the word. You're not experiencing the full Jesus Christ. We have this kind of words, and you just can't figure out the one what works with it the best. The full experience of your life purpose, of seeing your life change dramatically, and always when you embrace things like that, and you embrace your life purpose, and you know it is, your life always seems to change for the better. You know, people think, oh, I made the wrong choice, and my life sucks. No, it's just the idea of looking at the situation and realizing, okay, that wasn't the way to go. You learned that wasn't the direction. See, it wasn't a waste of time. So you turn around and go the other direction, and you probably will feel a whole lot better and more content. And you'll start seeing your life change dramatically in a better way, too, as well. Just as much as it does if you take the wrong choice or take take a different path. Okay, you say, okay, I'll take this one. Didn't work. Ooh. Didn't work in your best interest. Good or bad, turn around, go the other way, and all of a sudden you start seeing things get, you know, 100% better. So take a look at that situation and just have things fall in place very easily. All right. I was sitting there looking at the cards and kind of venturing into the book. To get the extended version, to see what you know, get the whole. They call it the extended version, but I keep saying it's one of those things that going in the book gets a full picture. You know, when you get those notions, those intuitional things that tell you, well, let's check this out and do this. It's amazing when you sit there and look at those situations, how they just fall into place. Life experiences. All right. Life experiences. There we go. Life experiences. You drew this card because it's because a recent event has been a wake-up call for you to make some life changes. This may be a new revelation or something you've known but have been procrastinating about. Now you've realized that this situation cannot be ignored. And action is necessary. This is a moment both of freedom and awakening. The way you see yourself and the world has forever changed, bringing you growth and encouraging you to spread your wings. Allow these new insights to motivate you to embrace the path of your heart's true desires and your intuition. You know, it's like liberation, suddenly seeing the truth, rapid, inevitable change. Time, you feel like time is running out. Now, when you sit and look at the situation of Archangel Shamuel can help you find whatever you're seeking, including the right relationships and a divinely guided career. Call upon Shamuel. And then follow your intuition, which is the way the angels speak to you anyway. So keep that up and do that kind of thing. You might be amazed exactly what's going to happen. And throw yourself some stuff in there with some affirmations. Affirmations are always good. It's amazing how the heat comes in here to screw things up. All right. As we sit and look at the situation, what I was sitting and look at is if it's relationships, I'd find some nice affirmations for love, like these, for instance, like this one here. It says, yes, I can be fulfilled. I love myself. I appreciate myself. I feel connected to the power of love in my life. I yearn for love, for total self-appreciation. With total appreciation, self-appreciation. I let my desire activate every part of my being. I let my heart be touched. I let the magic flow. I awaken to the touch of love. My love attracts equal and balanced love. I am open and available, passionate and full. I am receiving love. Love comes to me. I feel turned on. I can be touched. Every cell in my body eludes beauty and love. This love that is mine creates miracles in my world. I feel the movement of love in all my life. Yes, I can love and be loved. Joy and beauty fill my life. My heart is open. My heart is wise and mature. I feel my love attracting love. I attract the love I desire. I rest in the arms of love. And we can also get a little more intense with relationships by finding some very positive direct ones, as in relationships too as well. I have a loving, beautiful, considerate, thoughtful, compatible, supportive, communicative, passionate, and joyful relationship. I am thankful for my lessons now. I choose a relationship that is mutually supportive and uplifting on all levels. Let's see. I am deserving and worthy of an awesome relationship. I am flexible and flowing as my mate and I enjoy growing together in love and in life. If it's friendships, focus on those relationships. Then we look at the situation I experience and draw into my life many caring, loving, spiritually open, and uplifting friends. I uplift and inspire and support my friends in a loving way, and they support me as well. My friends are kind, loving, giving, honoring, awakened, and like-minded. My circle of friends is ever expanding to match my highest ideal for an intellectual and spiritual stimulation. If you are a person who's also focusing on relationships, as in family and parenting and that kind of stuff, then try some of these over here. I consistently speak lovingly and truthfully to my family. I am grateful for our mutual, accepting, loving, and supportive relationships. I uplift and support my children and other members of my family. I am conscious, aware, loving, kind, creative, attentive, consistent parent. My children are loving, aware, conscious, spiritual, kind, considerate, well-mannered, self-regulating, and wise co-creators who develop and grow in alignment with their highest path of personal growth and fulfillment. If you're focusing on career, businesses, and that kind of stuff, these would work for you too as well. I am grateful to have the knowledge and resources to exert minimal effort for maximum returns. My business assumes mass proportions, and I enjoy making a difference in the lives of others. I'm blessed to love what I do. I enjoy receiving incredible amounts of money, prosperity, acknowledgement, success, and fulfillment from my work as a psychic medium spiritual advisor, working through my website, creating an income exceeding over $1,000 a week, now and always. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And always, though, I was centered and said it's a good thing to put that thing on the end of the whole thing, too, was saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If not, the idea of putting things out there in perspective, but if you're looking at certain things, you know, spiritually, we also have affirmations on a spiritual level too. Like this one here is, my primary intent is to realize the presence of God within. I give thanks for my steadfast confidence and my consciousness of spirit within as my master creator. I joyously meditate daily. It's fun, effortless, natural, and an essential part of my everyday life. I seek peace first. Peace reigns supreme in my life now always. I seek atonement. I am completely connected with the power and presence of God at all times. And then we have the ones here where it says, I gratefully acknowledge my remarkable real estate savvy for the ideal purchasing a home. I've purchased homes in a variety of different locations, all which appeal to any number of my interests. I own waterfront, mountaintop, suburban, and urban properties. I appreciate and enjoy my beautiful new home, apartment, whichever one you throw in there, apartment, home. But it could be as simply as I appreciate and enjoy my beautiful home. It has the view, the neighborhood, and the amenities of all that I desire. I am blessed and grateful to have found a place that fits my needs, falls in the category of the kind of money that I want to pay monthly, and to be able to move in, and I moved in, paying just the rent. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're on the market for a new car, or would just like to have a new car, our new vehicle. Just such as say, I love my new luxurious ideal vehicle. I enjoy driving it and love the thrill of knowing it's 100% paid for, free and clear, which I think we'd all appreciate that one, wouldn't we? It's the idea of changing our attitudes, too. And that, I think it's one thing we have to really focus on, the idea of manifesting exactly what we want, is also to focus and manifest our minds, opening up wider and wider and wider to actually conceive what we're actually looking for is the idea of changing our perceptions and saying, you know something, man? You cannot manifest $1 million if you really can't believe that you actually can have $1 million. Okay? You can do a lot of variety of things that make you, to actually expand your perception. I know one guy who actually got a paper, pen, and actually literally made $1 million. So therefore, he had something visually to focus on, and he did manifest $1 million. So when you sit and look at the situation, it's kind of crazy. We also have some wealth affirmations, too, where it says, I am a money magnet. All that I do creates greater and greater wealth and abundance. My income far exceeds my wants, needs, and desires, always today and all, today, now and today. Okay, which we'll have to work on that one. Let's do it again. My income far exceeds all my wants, needs, and desires, always exceeding over $1,000 a week. My financial mistakes of the past are put to rest. I forgive myself and claim my mastery as a wise and prosperous money manager. I am grateful to have the means to purchase anything. And we should change that a little bit too. Change the words, like saying, I am grateful to have the means to have and purchase anything I desire when I desire it, now and always. I am grateful to experience extreme wealth and prosperity by simply holding faithfully to my belief in my desire and my divine right to prosperity. So you see, there's a lot of good affirmations. There's the idea of focusing on those things. What you need to do when you do work with affirmations is really find some affirmations that really work for you, how they resonate with you, how you feel when you do them, like they're really working for you. And then do them 3 days, do them 3 times a week. Do them 3 times a day. Really get into the depth of the whole thing too, like getting to know each and every word. So the affirmation, when you read it, you feel like it's materializing right in front of you. Very intense, very powerful, but very possible. Okay, even with the ideal healing, people want to sit there and talk about a lot of things, and you know, it's one of those things like we saw before with some of the situations I've seen where people are trying to manifest $1,800, $2,000 for surgeries. And I have a friend of mine who was working on cataract surgery and stuff like that. And I was thinking that we should go in a different direction of actually not manifesting the money to do the surgeries, but actually manifesting the healings. Which actually, if you think about it, could actually save us a ton of money. So it's the idea of realizing there's nothing that we cannot change. It's even been proven with the idea of focusing on affirmations to actually change DNA. So therefore, the idea of hereditary really doesn't exist. It's called hereditary thinking. And the idea of changing that perception has a tendency to change the outcome on anything and everything. Like we have here, healing affirmations. I love my body. My body is capable of absolute wellness, wholeness, and pure health. I claim my right to divine health and wellness. I am flexible, strong, healthy, well, and vibrantly whole in all of my body now. My body knows exactly what to do for pure health and divine wholeness now. I give myself permission to be well and experience extreme wholeness and health now. Okay, if you have a person with people not respecting your boundaries, even if you're a medium or a spiritual advisor and you have problems with spirits, affirmations for boundaries can work in both areas. Because most of the time you're going to find out one thing. It's like having boundaries is good because you have spirits who want to sit there and violate your boundaries. And if it's guaranteed, if you look at your life, you'll start seeing that there's also people that do the same thing. So see, they're both reflecting each other. So it needs to change. So therefore, let's go get some affirmations. Now here's one. I'm an excellent communicator. I communicate my boundaries lovingly and firmly. I allow myself to say no with kindness and detachment. I detach from my need to please others. I experience positive results by honoring myself and setting appropriate boundaries. Thank you, thank you. It's also the same thing with the idea of our emotions are out of control and that kind of thing. It's the ideal of saying, I allow myself to feel, express, and honor my full range of emotions. I express myself freely and lovingly. I experience love, passion, enthusiasm, and a full range of healthy emotions. I am I'm an efficient energy manager. I easily discern what really matters and focus my attention on positive emotions and solutions at all times. So you see, when you look at the situation, there's almost anything and everything that can change any kind of negative situation and turn it around into a positive one. Even the idea of success. I know that I am worthy and I know I'm worthy of happiness and success. I am on my way to becoming $1 million richer. Even take it one step further, make it a past tense and say, I am $1 million richer. I easily earn money from my efforts. I am empowered to act on my ambitions and desires. I always find a positive way around any obstacle. I freely give to others and receive blessings in return. I am open to receiving abundance in my life. I am grateful for everything I receive from the universe. I deserve to live a purposeful, happy life living abundantly. You can even focus on the idea of exercise. I love to exercise. I thrive on moving my body and flowing energy. I feel good when I work out. I make exercise a priority. I make exercise a priority, and it's effortless effort. I enjoy eating healthy and taking time to plan my meals. I choose the food that makes my body celebrate with maximum health and vitality. I am grateful to experience absolute wellness and vitality. I am youthful, healthy, energetic, and physically well and comfortable all the days of my life. So you see, it's one of those situations where you can always sit there and put things in perspective by just changing the words and putting things around, saying, in every day and in every action, I recognize with gratitude the abundance that surrounds me. And in that gratitude, I am open and receptive to all my life offers. I see abundance and success in things both big and small because I am one with the universe that supports me. As I look to the sky, I see a steady flow of financial windfalls laden with positive energy landing softly on my face as these opportunities flow into my life. Today I will freely give and freely receive my time, my money, my energy, my being. Resistance, struggle, and fear are no longer present. Having dissolved long ago, leaving a vast open space for new and profitable ideals inspired creatively and great wealth to flow through me. In this moment and in every moment, I am completely surrounded by universal love. The ideal love itself is what really brings things to people. It's the ideal, okay guys, you feel love today? Do you feel loving? And just tell yourself, I was born to be loved, cherished, and adored. Keep saying it over to yourself until you get it, until you understand it, until you know it, until you really believe it. You were born to be loved, cherished, and adored. You were born to be loved, cherished, and adored. You were born to be loved, cherished, and adored. And then say these to yourself, I am loved, I am lovable, I am love. I am loved, I am lovable, I am love. I am loved, I am lovable, I am love. I am loved, I am lovable, I am loved, and so it is. If you're looking for a soulmate, it's the idea of putting it in the past tense, isn't it? It's the idea of saying, I am ready, willing, and open to receive my soulmate's love now. I believe that my soulmate exists and I am deserving of her or him, and the universe is skillfully orchestrating our meeting now. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. My little twist, I like to put on things to open all the doors and all the windows, is to say, this or something better now manifests for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anytime you get a negative thought that comes out your mouth, try to turn it into a positive affirmation. Like, you know, if you're sitting there going, oh, I can't afford that. You change it and say, I can afford anything. I just choose when I purchase. When I desire, I will buy. When I desire, today, I'm just looking. So therefore, when I come back, my choice of what I purchase is a whole lot more clearer. So therefore, we work on things that's in it. To love and be loved is to feel the sun from both sides. Think about that, guys. It's one of those incredible things. We also have a couple of prayers here, which I've gone over a couple of times with people. But I just think it's one of those things that needs to go over, because everybody seems like lately are praying and wanting to manifest a soulmate. So let's just put it out there. Put it in the archives, too, okay? This one here, particular prayer, says, God in all that is. In this moment, I am grateful for the healing of my heart, of everything that would stop me from attracting my soulmate. In this moment, I remember that my perfect life partner is magnetizing to me, and my only job is to rest in perfect awareness that my soulmate's heart is already joined with mine as I savor the waiting, and so it is. And then we have this one back here, where basically what it is, it's a prayer that where you're working with your soulmate's guardian angel so you can speed the process up and get that little guy over here or girl where you can all be together now, okay? It says, Dear guardian angels of my soulmate, thank you for preparing my soulmate and me for love, for giving us the motivation to make healthful life changes. Okay, did you hear that, guys? Make healthful life changes. If you're in a relationship right now and you have a guy going, I don't know, you just want to smack him, you know? He's not in a healthy way. And if you really feel like you should be together, this prayer would work so fantastically, okay? So the same here, motivation to make helpful life changes. And, of course, you want this guy to make that life change because you know for a fact he really wants to be with you. He's just letting his fears stay in the way. This prayer and affirmations could also help you to kick those guys out of the way like little soccer balls. So they're no longer in the way for any kind of potential falling down and getting hurt, okay? So the idea of falling in love is like falling on a freaking big old mattress of memory, that memory foam. People love falling on that, which is the ideal beginning of a fantastic relationship, okay? So it's make helpful life changes and for arranging for us to meet. Thank you for helping us recognize each other and have the courage to say hello so that we can eventually devolve into a truly intimate relationship. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you see that last part of the prayer itself, it's saying to help us have the courage to say hello, to recognize each other. And if you take a look at the situation of any particular person in your relationship or the situation that you're in, and they're not stepping forward, they're not committing to the relationship, there could be a situation where they don't see you for what you are, which is the potential soulmate they've been looking for. So you can see how these prayers can really help. And the idea of overcoming your fears, too, is the idea of taking the situation before you go to bed tonight and say, Archangel Michael, please enter my dreams and replace fear with faith and trust. Let me be filled with strength, courage, and confidence. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's also a call on Archangel Raphael. Say, Dear Archangel Raphael, thank you for healing and guiding all my relationships upon the path of love, even the relationship with myself. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So some people look at the situation of affirmations and prayers and that kind of stuff, and they're not really sure about the whole thing. You know something? But I don't think they're really throwing themselves into the situation to see how it's going to happen. And also the idea of looking at life the way it also unfolds. If you're taking and you're doing affirmations and you're doing everything else you can do, and you still have this particular person that you're involved with who still doesn't want to step forward, who wants to sit there and pray this procrastination job, who wants to sit there and just tell you he doesn't know what he wants, at the same time, you're really confused because you feel like he feels the same way you do, or she, and you know what's going on and you can feel it. And the reason it's confusing is because you don't see, because they're not acting accordingly what you feel. It's the ideal of have the courage, the strength, to move on. I say put the prayers like this. Don't put any names on them. Okay, just put them out there. Say, Dear guardian angel of my soulmate, thank you for preparing my soulmate and me for love, for giving us the motivation to make healthful life changes, and for arranging for us to meet. Thank you for helping us recognize each other and have the courage to say hello so that we can eventually devolve into a truly intimate relationship. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you still can't get any kind of movement on that one, then you have a really stubborn person. Or maybe it's just the idea of realizing one thing. He's not the soulmate for you. because I'm pretty sure if you're all out there and we're doing a little situation with our list and we're focusing on having a relationship now, and this person doesn't want to have one right now, then it's time. So it's one of those things where you hate to say that, but it's time to kick that person to the curb and say, you know something? I'm sorry. I mean, I don't like using the term life is short, it's because I think life goes on as long as we want to go on. So therefore, that's one of those situations where I feel like immortality, you still don't want to waste a minute. You want to enjoy every minute, every second, every millisecond of your life. If you have a person who's constantly sitting there waiting and procrastinating the whole thing, who's making you wait, then you're not experiencing your life to the fullest, too. And neither are they. So what the one thing you need to do is make courage, really dig inside yourself and get the courage to say, well, okay, if that's the case, maybe this person is not for me, which means there's somebody else for you. If that's the case, and that's the kind of conclusion you come to, then the other person, too, that you're talking about also has a significant other, too, as well. And maybe the ideal to correct this path that we've all taken is to take an alternate path. In the process of doing that, it might even free him to realize what he's done. In the process of realizing, if you don't appreciate something, it's more likely taken away, which is not really happening in the situation, but it might be a realization for him to open up. So therefore, then when he gets a chance to have a relationship with somebody else, he won't take it for granted like what he did with you. But at the same time, that you're allowing someone to take you for granted, you're also taking your own self for granted. And by making the choice to move on and go forward, you're no longer doing that anymore. You're honoring yourself to realize that you deserve to be with somebody right now. So put that in perspective and do what you got to do. All right? I'm always saying find. There's all kinds of things anymore. Just keep searching and finding until you find the affirmations that work for you, that make you feel like every time you say them, you can just feel the energy manifesting that situation, that certain person, object, whatever it is. You can just feel the swirling of the energy as it's basically coming together to create your manifestation. And to also realize that this focus that you're giving it also makes you realize that you're also the vehicle that's going to bring that into manifestation. Also, the ideal, also be a co-creator with God, of realizing that. In the process of manifestation, we're focusing entirely on the energy itself, but we also have to realize one thing. The reason we call it co-creation is because God has also put all these things into play so we could actually do that. In the process of the ideal, too, we can no longer sit there and say we're not gods anymore. I'm not a god. Really? And then you haven't read the Bible. The Bible says flat out, you are created in the image of God. God created you in the image of himself. And what is God? God is a god. So therefore, if you're creating the image of something, let's say that God was a Ford, and he created you. That means you were Ford, too. If you don't like Fords, I guess we could use some other scenario. Yeah, but I'm just saying, with the situation of being made in the image of anything, that means we also have the characteristics and everything that goes along with that person or that situation or the entity that created us. So therefore, you can no longer do that. If you read the Bible and look at certain things that happened in the Bible of Jesus, and there's certain things he was trying to instill in everybody else. It's the ideal, what can you do? You can do anything you want to. Anything's possible. It's the ideal to believe. In the process of believing, it's the ideal, the source of where you came from. To be tied into the presence of God at all minutes, every minute of every day. We have it in the situation of affirmations and prayers. You know, my favorite one is to always focus on what I want to manifest that day. My biggest... Sometimes with situations, it seems like it's crazy. But I start looking at certain things that are lacking, and I start focusing on them to bring them up to par, too, with everything else that's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, my biggest thing is to manifest readings through my website. And then when I'm working, say I'm working on a psychic line, then I focus on that one. So it's the ideal. Be where you're at. If you're with your girlfriend right now, be with your girlfriend. Don't keep thinking about being with the boys at the bar drinking. Because you're not really being respectful to the person you're with or yourself, because you're not enjoying that moment that you're in. Because at that time, realize one thing, guys, moment, that is the only thing that exists, that moment. So you don't want to sit there and blow it and then later on start going, well, shucks. Because people don't really regret what they've done. they more likely regret the things they never did that they feel like they should have done. So therefore, experience everything. Of course, with the situation, what you're comfortable with too as well. But if it's one of those things you feel like you need to partake in or follow through with, then do it and see what happens. And I'm not talking about anything else besides career, love, and relationships and that kind of stuff. In the process of where you should be and where you shouldn't be at. You know, sometimes people have the tendency to look at characteristics and that kind of thing. Well, since I act like a boy, I guess I'm this or that. No. It's the situation of realizing each individual has a way of looking at things and a different perception. So the idea of grouping people is just, I think, is a lazy person's way of trying to understand the world. When they should start really detailing it and really focusing and watching everybody on an individual basis, and you'll start realizing they're short. One thing you'll never find is you will never find a person like anybody else. Now, when you look at that whole situation and that whole scenario, to sit there and say God doesn't exist, who are you kidding? That is a very organized universe. The universe is not chaotic. Okay? Everything happens for a reason. If you look at each individual that crosses your path, it always reflects something back about you, good or bad. It's always a reflection. And you also notice each one of those people are different too, and not one, there's no two people alike. How can you have that going on with the ideal, the situations we see going on all the time? And then we have people who want to group those things. I think that astrology and all these other things are very good things to help us understand people that we are associated with, you know, our significant other, our parents, family, kids, that you can tap into the situation and use these as blueprints to get more insight and more detail, but you still have to sit there and address those people as individuals too. That in the process of finding them, you're going to find something more about yourself. And it's a constant discovery. If everybody did the same thing, everybody would be discovering a lot of things about themselves and probably progress spiritually a whole lot faster. So that's one of those things that makes true sense to the fullest. If you want to sit there and say the situation, that kind of stuff, and ask yourself any more, you know, I was reading the Bible where it says, thou shalt not steal. And I don't think they were really saying materialistic stuff. Because let's look at the situation. It's a spiritual context. It's about spirituality. It's about a spirit. It's God. It's a whole thing. It's looking at a situation and conceiving in your mind that God does not know what those things are, as in stealing, as in a materialistic way, because he's always been in spirit. He can experience those things to us, but the idea of really experiencing them on these other levels makes you think. These are our own perceptions. So could it be in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal? You know, when you're sitting there and you're in a relationship and you're telling someone you love them because you're scared of being alone, aren't you stealing someone's time and life at that moment? And I think that's what it means, because when you correct relationships and you embrace who you are, who you're supposed to be with, and what you're supposed to do with your life always changes dramatically in a huge way. And then everything else outside of that whole thing always seems to change to a positive too as well. So it's something to ponder and think about. Most things are almost all, everything is created. It's always created from the thought. Ask anybody who's ever met any kind of fortune, any kind of business, any kind of really career success. They always had a vision or a thought that materialized into something big. But it always started out as a thought, which even science has proven that thought does have a frequency. It can be registered. So start telling yourself, and the idea that if words can change things, and just start focusing on success, as in success within yourself. Because if you start focusing on success with yourself, being the most successful thing in the world, it will touch a lot of other people to do the same. So just start saying to yourself, I believe in myself. My talents are in demand. I am recognized. I am lucky. I attract opportunities for abundance and success. I get all the help I need. I stay calm, centered, and focused. I trust my intuition to show me the way. I take risk with confidence. I adjust easily. I am resourceful. I use my time wisely. I ground my visions in reality. I am patient, deliberate, and sure of my worth. All that I seek is seeking me. I possess unlimited resources. I choose prosperity. I am prosperous. I feel great. I love my life. I achieve with ease. I let go and find solutions. I've got what it takes to win. I hope my hopes and dreams come true. I am a success. I share my wealth. I am optimistic. I trust life. I feel great. I love my life. My life works. I'm clear and lucid. I achieve my goals with ease. All that I seek is seeking me. I get the help I need. I am attractive, active, and in demand. I adjust effortlessly. I am confident. I accept challenges. Positive solutions abound. I am enthusiastic. I am lucky. I feel positive energy flowing through me. I am safe. I am free. I trust life to bring me the best. My hopes and dreams come true. I love my life. Find a couple of those that work for you and just keep going over and over and over again. See, everything in my life flows perfectly. There is so much to be grateful for. Prosperity is everywhere at all times. I claim my right to a prosperous life. I am building a strong financial foundation that supports all of my life. I am sensible with money and manage it wisely. Opportunities to success abound. Everything I need to generate wealth is available to me right now. I am aligned with love, truth, and integrity. I am divinely guided in all of my affairs. Through the great law of attraction, everything I need for my work and fulfillment comes to me. Even now, the answers to all my needs are speeding their way to me. My mind is open to the infinite supply of wealth. I allow it to flow freely and generously into my life. Money is good. Money is energy. Money flows to me easily. The universe is my benefactor. I am fully supported making money doing what I love to do. I deserve happiness, ease, and abundance. I deserve prosperity. The more I enjoy life and contribute to the lives of others, the more money I make. I am richly rewarded for all that I give. I love my life. New sources of prosperity flow into my life with grace and ease. I attract ideal circumstances and opportunities into my net worth. I am a magnet for money. I am a magnet for money. Money comes to me through expected channels and unexpected channels. So just open the door for everything and anything. And then after you get down focusing on the things, just say to yourself, this or something better now manifests for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. And it's one of those things, sometimes it's easy, great to get a good affirmation that you can recite no matter where you are. Like mine, I'm happy and grateful for the 20 60-minute readings I did through my website, Psychic X Journeyman, today, earning over $1,000 today and always. So I can go anywhere. If I'm sitting on the bus or whatever and I have a doubt about making anything or doing anything today, I'll just sit there and say, I am so happy and grateful for the 20 private 60-minute readings I did today. Through my website, PsychicXJourneyman.com, earning over $1,000 today and every day. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This or something better now manifests for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we were sitting going over the whole thing with situations of success, positive affirmations to do everything and anything you want to. You know, we're also talking about money and jobs and careers. I choose wealth now. I am grateful for everything I have. I choose to give myself permission to enjoy money. My life looks brilliant and shines with abundance. I choose to have a healthy relationship with money. Money speaks to me and guides me to my highest good. I choose to be open to receiving unlimited abundance. I respect and appreciate the abundance in my life. I choose to accept money flowing into my life right now. My prosperity serves the world. I choose to express my unique creativity. People love to give me money because I add value to their lives. I allow myself to have more than I ever dreamed possible. God is the source of all my abundant supply. I choose to release my unwillingness to be wealthy now. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. And to say to yourself, I am rich, I am wealthy. You know, personal growth. Some people want to focus on the world and the globe. That's good. You can use the ones here where it says, I am filled with creative ideals that benefit mankind, and I courageously take action now. I am grateful to be alive during this time of global awakening. I hold the vision of united wholeness and healthy transformation. I answer the call to be an enlightened and light worker. I courageously and boldly share truth and open the door for conscious evolution to manifest comfortably. So therefore, we cover the globe when we're talking about certain situations. But I'm telling you right now, guys, if you work on yourself and become the best person you can become, it affects the world, too, as a whole. As one more positive person thinking more positive actually contributes to mass consciousness. So therefore, we don't, you know, have to sit to rely on economists anymore saying, you know, I don't know. The economy might improve, but every minute, maybe, you know, it starts becoming mumble, doesn't it? We're listening to people who don't know, who are sitting looking at statistics on things that are happening, not realizing that they're almost like you're feeding into the situation saying, you know something, you have no control. So listen to us and then tell yourself what you're going to have to embrace yourselves to deal with, because you can't change it. You never know what's going to happen. Really? If you're a psychic and you're listening to this crap, aren't you a contradiction? Because you're a psychic. You know these things. You see things happening. You pick up on things. You remote viewers. Get your heads out of your asses and stuff. Really remote viewing and start looking at things that say, hey, start, you know, stop kissing your asses and telling each other how great you are and start doing something for this planet. As any idea of changing the outcome. Because each time someone starts focusing on a positive solution, the outcome of the world itself is different. So think about it. Just put our little situations and put our heads together, and this create a great future for everybody, anybody, just by focusing on one thing. If your life is great and fantastic and you've created the life that you've always seen yourself having, and you're the happiest person you've ever been, and you just keep getting happier and happier and keep experiencing more things because of your manifestation skills are getting just that good, I guarantee you there's 10 other people who are seeing the same thing and are also changing their lives as well. Okay? So put that in perspective and realize how important it is for you to be yourself and to put yourself out there and to actually go after what you want. You know, go after the life partner. Go after your life partner. Go out there and get your life purpose and go and experience life to the fullest, which is your divine right. All right, anybody out there? Is there anybody with us? So, Dee, have you showed up yet? Hello? Well, let's continue with the affirmation show. Okay. You know, you can focus on other things, too, as well. You want to focus on more trips in your life? Then focus on adventure affirmations and say, hey, I delight in my wonderful adventures across the globe. I have traveled from shore to shore, and I'm delightful to open to more. I am so pleasantly surprised by my ability to attract positive adventures that make my life rich with spontaneity, laughter, and passionate living. I have a wide breadth of adventures to share. I experience cultures and have seen sights that would rival the most traveled adventures in the world. All right? Let's see. Try to make sure we cover everything and anything. Because only the one thing I was looking at the most is the idea of focusing on affirmations and focusing on oneself. When you start changing you within yourself, you change the world too. So take a chance, take the time to fall in love with yourself. And, you know, they always say the start of a great romance is to love oneself. To find prayers that work with you or work for you. I mean, seriously, when I had to start actually reading this one soulmate prayer to manifest a soulmate, you can feel the energy with that. But also with relationships, we all should also understand one thing. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. See, in the process of finding those barriers within yourself and releasing those things, you find yourself, and then you start realizing that maybe the reason you didn't love yourself is because you were making all these excuses for all these things you did in the past. And then when you let go of those things anymore, you don't have any more excuses but to love yourself. All right, remember one thing. Immature love says, I love you because I need you. Mature love says, I need you because I love you. So I already love you. Come on back. You know, I have found that if you love life, life will love you back. Put a smile on your face, go out that freaking door, and I guess I guarantee you everybody out there will also, who cross your path, maybe be a little angry, and maybe not have a smile on their faces. But see, you have that ability to change life and change the world by maintaining that goal that you made to yourself a long time ago to be a happy person. If you haven't done that, look at your past. Look at the situations. And look at the things you're still hanging on to because you don't feel like you deserve to be happy. Realize that you do deserve to be happy. You made mistakes. Let it go. We all have. We have some affirmations where it says, I feel wonderful and feel fantastic now that my soulmate and I are together now as a romantic, deep loving, committed to each other, couple having a wonderful, sharing, happy, fulfilling marriage and life together now. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you want to work on your weight and focus on your appearance, say, I feel wonderful and look fantastic now that I weigh, whatever, I put now mine, I weigh 200 pounds, have a 33-inch waist, flat stomach, and am in great physical condition, looking and feeling and being 25 years old now. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Most people want to sit there and go, well, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? And I tell them, take your perception somewhere else, please. Thank you very much. If you don't want to look at the situation or the example that's been put before you, and you still want to hang on to your perception, which is not working for you, then you have only one person to blame, and that's you. So therefore, if you really want to change your life, really make an effort. Also, make a promise to yourself to do just that. And also realize in the process of focusing on change in your life, nothing's going to look the same. The people that you're going to attract from that point on are not going to be any resemblance to people that you've been with because you have just said, I want something different. Even to the point of looking at the situation and realizing what you really want and to realize you've been compromising the whole time. Putting yourself into situations, the reason you wasn't happy or the reason you didn't feel content, the reason you couldn't be yourself is because you put yourself into situations because you felt like you had to. In some sense of the word, maybe it was because you feel like, I don't want to be lonely, or I'm tired of being alone, or these other things, when it should have been just a simple decision, I want somebody to share my life with. Also, if you're out there focusing on that space, say that you feel like there's something missing. Oh, there's a hole in my heart. And there's no hole in your heart. It's an illusion. There's no space where there's no significant other. And if you are focusing on those things, remember one thing. 0 + 0 = 0. If you're focusing on empty space in the process of trying to manifest a soulmate, you're focusing on an empty space. So therefore, all you're going to manifest is an empty space and more empty situations, more empty opportunities, and more empty people. Did you guess the last part, guys? Empty people. People who are lost, looking for someone else to fulfill them too. So this helps you understand why you keep attracting, as you call them, in some sense the word, people who treat you like garbage or who treat you any other way that you're not supposed to be treated, who do not have respect for you. Because seriously, in the process of going out there and not taking the time to do the work for yourself, you're not respecting yourself. So what you're doing is you're attracting people who don't respect you because they feel like, you know, you're sitting there going, think about this. You know, you haven't done the work. You're going out there and saying, well, I have to find somebody to fulfill me. I have to find someone to make me happy. You're putting that responsibility on somebody else. Instead of taking the responsibility to realize the only person who can make you happy is you. In the process of being happy, then you want to find someone that you can be happy with because they're happy too. Then you have a happy life, happy relationship, happy opportunities, happy situation, and your life is fulfilled because you have somebody to work with you, not against you. And you're going to realize the reason you have a fulfilling life is because you have taken the time to fulfill yourself, your wants, needs, and desires. So it makes it a whole lot easier to find that person to give you and put you to be in a position where your wants, needs, and desires are always met spontaneously without even asking. All right? But always remember that, you know, if you're putting the responsibility on somebody else, then they're going to come back and expect you to do the same thing. Now, what's the problem with the situation is we have two people who are expecting the other person to fulfill them and to make them happy. In the process of the situation, you're going to come up empty. Because the first thing you've got to realize in life is love, happiness, is not out there. It's just, it's within you. And if you're, if this person is expecting you to make them happy, at the same time you're expecting to make him, you're expecting them to make you happy. So nobody has the tools to make anybody happy because they haven't taken the time to make themselves happy. You see the problem? You have to have the tools before you could actually do anything in the process of having any kind of relationship. And if you don't have a good relationship with yourself, then you're not going to have a good relationship with anybody else either. So you see, this is very important for the work, the meditation, the chakra clearing. So see, when you take that time for yourself, you're contributing to yourself. You're investing in yourself. And that's a great way to find love for oneself, is to give yourself those massages, those acupuncture sessions, because you're thinking about yourself to be the full person you are and taking the actions to do that. Don't be surprised if you don't find someone else who's doing the same things when you get together. To realize you've been working toward the same goal, as in loving each other. And then when you found each other, it was easy to love. It was also easy to be yourself. And that's one thing we're looking for, isn't it, guys? I mean, think about the situation. When you write your list, the bottom goal is you're looking for someone to love you unconditionally. You're looking for someone to give you back what you're willing to put out there. Because most of us don't really easily put it out there. We're always expecting someone to give us the love and all those things first before we feel comfortable to do so. But wouldn't it be easier to love yourself, to find someone else who loves themselves, than when you met that person, no expectations, just being yourself? If you're being yourself, they're being themselves. So there's not going to be this other stuff that says, well, he doesn't love me enough, or he hasn't done this for me today, or he didn't buy me a gift, he didn't do that enough. You know, all this stuff keeps going on. But you're going to find out there's relationships out there that the people took the time to do the work to get to know, to really get to know themselves before they even wrote the list about what they were actually, the kind of relationship and the person they want to be with, because it's a whole lot easier to write those things when you know who you are. You don't have to second guess yourself or double step backwards to find out. You've already done the work for yourself. The rest of it's a piece of cake. All right? And then you can sit there and just, yeah, you're putting things together, guys. Like, you know, if you have a problem with a situation or a person, just say, hey, all difficulties between me and the other person are now being dissolved. We have a wonderful, happy, romantic, deep-loving relationship now and always. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The more I love myself, the more I love my soulmate. I love my soulmate, and my soulmate loves me. All difficulties between me and my soulmate are being dissolved right now. Everything's happy. Everything's peachy. Then go one first step further with yourself and say the same thing. I now have a perfect, satisfying, well-paying career and business as a psychic medium, spiritual advisor, radio show host, shop owner, helping everyone who crosses my path to the fullest of my abilities, using my gifts and talents that I was blessed with in the process of my life. And now I've embraced my purpose. Now my life has purpose. And I love my life, and I love myself. Now and always. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My romantic relationship, marriage with my soulmate, is growing happier and more fulfilling every day. Okay? I am happy and grateful now that I have a wonderful, happy, joyous, romantic, spiritual soulmate, twin flame relationship marriage with my soulmate. We are really learning to understand and deeply love each other unconditionally, now and always and forever. Now that I have a very successful business and career, being a successful, happy, compassionate, abundant, prosperous, well-paid, financially compensated, psychic medium spiritual advisor, doing very powerful, insightful angel card readings, palm readings, life coaching, relationship counseling, using all my gifts and talents to help everyone who crosses my path, no matter their financial situation. I'm always available to help everyone and anyone who crosses my path. Now and always, thank you for all the miracles and blessings in my life, and for the ones coming, and for the ones that are happening right now. Thank you, God, angels, archangels, ascended masters, guardian angels, guides, higher self, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Thank you for all the protection, guidance, and help you give me, and help and thanks for helping me meet all my goals. That all my wants, needs, and desires are always fulfilled every minute of every day. Thank you, thank you, and thank you.
Oh.
So, guys, we're sitting here going over the whole thing on ourselves. I'm trying to figure out. We do a show every Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, and I'm just really don't have the means or the ways to, at this moment to actually get a hold of Dee. And I'm trying to figure out what the heck's going on. What happened to the lady? This is kind of an awkward situation because right now I just moved. And the idea of having internet is not going to happen until Tuesday when they come out and actually flip the switch and get things going. Therefore, I can take care of all this stuff myself. But until that happens, I could have swore we had an understanding when I talked to Dee last night that, you know, we're going to have to do this again until Tuesday, or at least until Monday. Well, actually, we're going to do this. No, I should be okay on Tuesday night. And the idea of changing things and doing that kind of stuff, so I'm not sure what's going on. Anyway, I just want everybody to sit there and say, tell yourself, I am disciplined, and I focus on my topest priorities, therefore I am successful. It's like the moment you decided to change your life, you awaken the power to transform the impossible into the possible. And to be what your heart chooses. Not what your head thinks and not what the world thinks you should be. Because that's the hardest thing about the situation, isn't it? Everybody's sitting there saying, this is what you should do. And sometimes when I was sitting focusing on the idea of remote viewing, they have a tendency not to be really specific about certain things, so you have to figure out the rest on your own, which I don't think really what I would sit there and say is good for career changes. Of course, we should all figure these things out on our own and go through our own tuition, but if you're going to really do the remote viewing, there should be more detail and pictures to the situation and say, okay, I know exactly where to go. Because I know for a fact doing the psychic thing and working with angels and guides and archangels, working with God, angels, archangels, the set of masters, guardian angels, guides, my higher self, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. I know one thing. There's no question. The guidance is clear. When the guidance is not clear, I can ask for it to be clear and to be more in depth and more insightful. So therefore, they're constantly helping me. And they're always really focusing on one thing. Their goal is to make sure I hit that success, to feel and experience success to the fullest in everything and anything I do, to help us also to realize that some people think if you have a successful career, you can't have a successful relationship. Angels and guides are there to tell you one thing, that you can have success in every part of your life. So therefore, to realize those things, when you do have success in every part of your life, then you realize you have balance, because that's how life works. It's like your body, you know? We can feel an imbalance within our bodies and our souls. When we feel like we're doing the wrong thing or going in the wrong direction, then we try to correct that. And then when we feel like indecisive, we try to find ways to balance our soul, our bodies, chakra clearings and Reiki and those kind of things, so we know what's up. I guess it's one of those things of looking at people who have a tendency to do one thing, and it's kind of scary to focus on nothing but disaster. Disaster is coming. It's like I was telling before about ailments and stuff, people trying to manifest and come up with the money for surgeries when they keep forgetting the one thing. You can also sit there and focus on healing oneself just by knowing how to take energy and to convert it right back in yourself, because we're always constantly grounding ourselves, talking about cosmic energy and taking those energies within our bodies, that we don't realize we can take it one step further and heal that body. And the idea of being perfect, the reason we don't feel perfect is because of our perception. We've always been told, you're not perfect. When sometimes you look at the situation where you could be. Because, I mean, look at the perfect body that functions correctly. Nothing's wrong with it. It works fine. Couldn't it be classified as being perfect? I mean, it still baffles science to this day why certain people's bodies are perfect and why certain why certain people's bodies are not perfect. Hello?
Hello, Donnie. Sorry about that. I didn't realize I was supposed to do the switchboard tonight.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I could have sworn I said
that. That's okay,
last
but
night.
I am on there now. I was hollering at you before, and I was wondering why you couldn't hear me.
Oh, okay. No, it was kind of.
Okay,
like,
sorry about that. Well, we do have people in the queue.
Oh, really?
We have two. Oh. I'm so sorry.
And that's okay.
We have 603, and then we have 919.
I think 919 is actually April.
Oh, okay.
919-600-1904.
Okay, well, I just unmuted her.
No problem.
And we do have 603 who's been waiting for a while. Hi, April.
Hey, thanks.
You want to take 603?
603, I think that's Mark, isn't it?
603?
No,
Mark is.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey there.
No, that's not Mark. No, Mark's not 603.
So who are we talking to tonight?
603 is Prem.
Oh,
who?
Prem.
Okay.
My phone line got cut on our last conversation.
You were
my
last
phone
card
ran out.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. My phone card ran out. I was like, dang it. And the show had ended, so I couldn't call back anyways.
No problem.
Okay, now we have a new one. Oh,
so
dear God.
How much time do we have? I've been talking and talking.
Oh, I've got an hour.
Okay. Because I was like, I knew she was going to show up sooner or later. I was just like, okay. I'm about to the end of my journal.
Oh, it's been an interesting night. I'm sorry
yep.
You waited so long. I didn't realize I was supposed to do the switchboard again tonight. Donnie was talking to me, and I'm yelling on the phone at him, and he's not paying a bit of, like, what the hell's wrong here?
Yeah.
Ah, we're doing well.
It was crazy. But I was sitting there going, okay, we'll just keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of shocked by it. I said, okay,
I noticed the chat line's not open.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. I'll get with it eventually.
Hey,
it's Saturday night. What do you want?
And a full moon. I mean, come on. Venus is busy.
Oh, good. Venus is busy. Well, that sounds good.
Oh, yeah. So, what's the situation going on with your life?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. Do you do readings?
I haven't been doing them as much.
Okay.
I had to get into it, kid.
Yeah.
Well, tonight's your lucky night.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying, answer a couple questions for some dear friends that you come on our show all the time.
Oh, dear God, this is going to be one of those nights.
I'm just saying, if she wants to, she doesn't have to. It's just one of those things. That's putting
no,
out
no,
there.
I'm just realizing we have to use the big, the other chat isn't going to open, so we're opening the big one.
Oh. The small one.
God.
You said the small one won't open, the big one will?
Yep. Remember, my computer's a little funky.
Okay.
Now it's a lot funky.
Okay. So this is a look at the situation of some of the things we've been talking. Has anybody been listening to what I've said for the last hour?
I have. It was perfect.
Thank you. So
I've been paying attention to some degree.
I'm just saying, I was there going up.
Since you couldn't hear me, what was the meaning?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was one of those things where some spiritual people have a tendency to tend to. I've seen some do this. They think since they're spiritual, they can't do anything except for spiritual stuff and the idea of enjoying life itself and that kind of thing. And I was sitting there looking at this one little statement that says, God does not get rid of all the drama in your life. he just gets rid of the cheap drama, which is just stuff where people accusing each other, this and the other. He says there is no higher drama than true personal growth. Nothing can be more genuinely dramatic than boys becoming real men and girls becoming real women.
Real women, yeah.
It's the idea of looking at the situation, this kind of stuff. I saw this the other day, too, and it wasn't the idea of denouncing gay people or nothing like that. But this one guy was there having this conversation with his priest or this pastor, and he said, well, I was born this way, and all this stuff, da-da-da, and just kind of like throwing in his face. And I guess that's the one thing I have problems with, things like that. If it's really, if it's really true, and if it's really what it is, then you don't have to be in someone's face. It is what it is. So you have to sit there and ask yourself, why do people think they have to go to those extremes if they don't have to deal within it themselves? So the priest, so this preacher said, there's good news for you. He says, you said you were born this way. He goes, yes. He said, well, you can be reborn. You can be healed. If so, if you feel, because I've seen, one thing I will sit there and say for a fact that I've actually talked to some gay people, and the one thing you do come up with the best is they feel like there's some kind of physical ailment of why they are the way they are. Something's wrong, okay? Something's not working right. This is from their mouths, okay? And even the idea of going to scientists and trying to prove that there's something wrong or there's something with the situation, there's something with the physical ailment that's made it that way. So it's not, so it goes against norm, as people would say. So, you know, when you sit and look at those kind of situations of something wrong, and we're also talking about healings and that kind of stuff with people. To see what would happen in a situation like that, someone actually getting healed, would it change a lot of things? Because this is why I look at it, okay? From experiences, and everybody can say what they want to say, they can sit and shove down my throat, I'll shove back, okay? I've experienced these things with a lot of people where we have two women, and they claim to be gay. One's masculine, one's feminine, which is the truth, you know, that's the truth of relationships. So you're trying to figure out, they're saying, okay, well, the reason we're doing this is the way it is. Well, this one particular relationship that I saw, the guy, the person who was the man, was pretending to be a man, as she put it, where she beat her girlfriend. Now, you see, what you're seeing now is a person who's imitating what they think a man is. So then when you trace it back even further, you start realizing the influence that created this. It wasn't really a physical ailment. It was more like power suggestion of certain things that happened. I've seen this a lot of times with girls who are tomboys, who, since you're this, this, and this, I guess you're gay. And some people have a tendency to, I've seen this in a couple of movies where this one person comes and tells this one guy, well, you like this, and you like this, you like Barbra Streisand, blah, blah, blah. So you're gay. And he finally gives in. So, okay, you're right, I'm gay. So you see, it's not like something he came to realization about. It was something he was pushed into. And I, you know, when you start looking at those kind of things, it goes against free will all the way. So that's why I would sit here and say, to each their own, do what you want to do. But I'm just saying, from my perception of what I've seen and what I put out there, these are the things that I've experienced. And that's why I tell people about all these things. Like last night we talked about the lawyer who was sitting there going, in the real world, let's see, the real world is his perception.
Correct.
Of what he thinks the real world is. So he's thinking, I have to have a job before anything else will work. We also had a lady on the show who sit there and said the same thing. I can't be abundant or prosperous unless I have a job. Not realizing, like attracts like. So you're going to have to be abundant and prosperous somehow within yourself, or it's just not going to happen. And you see so many people out there who are looking for things, not realizing what they're really looking for is themselves. The reason they don't have a job, the reason they don't have the house, the reason they don't have the life they want, because they don't believe in themselves enough to believe they deserve it. So you trace it back and trace it back, and then you sit there and try to tell them, and they want to sit there and hang on even more to this disastrous life and say, nope, it works for me. Really? Why are you calling? So what is your perceptions on those things, guys?
Perception on
what's that?
What did you just say? I don't know why that crackled up.
Oh, okay. I said, what are your perceptions on this whole perceptions about certain things on that level, what I'm talking about? What do you see?
Well, it really changes have to happen. Nothing is ever constant. And usually fear is the first thing that will jump in, and we tend to over-nurture the fear of making the changes. that have to happen. Yes, prosperity is always there. It's a matter of seeing past our limitations. And sometimes that can be very difficult because it's a mindset program that we already have that we need to work through. And it does help a lot with, like, the last hour that what you were going through with the affirmations. And even as Joseph Murphy, the sleeping prophet, you've heard of him, right, Joseph Murphy? He passed away a few years ago, and he himself said, you know, on a subconscious level, the best time to do these affirmations within oneself is when your mind is completely relaxed, and just as you're falling asleep or into lucid sleep, and that allows all these affirmations to settle in, because the mind or ego does not have authority or hierarchy there. And everything does start from the heart. The heart, whenever you ask your heart a question, it never lies to you. It either tells you yes or no. And the mind, you ask it a question, and it'll go blah, 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 because of this or because of that. And are you sure? What? Maybe. Maybe not. Are you sure? You know, it gets you into this whole momentum of, what the heck? And it burns you out.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the body, too.
Yeah.
There's ways of talking to the body, and the body will give you a straight answer.
Yes, yes. And you know, it's funny whenever I talk about meditation to others, and sometimes I get the feedback of, well, you know, meditation, you have to sit down, you have, and it's all this rum-rum-a-ding-dong, you have to go to the state of whatever.
Okay.
I like to call it rum-rum-a-ding-dong, but, you know, I'm like, no, it's really nothing to do with that, because meditation is a form of just, you could be in a very noisy area, but as long as you can go quiet in your mind and come down to your heart, That's what meditation really comes down to, is coming into your heart space, where the truth sits, where love encompasses everything.
Yes, the idea of taking all that energy you got in your head while you do all that thinking, and bring it back down to your heart chakra,
correct,
heart center. Even the people have said that, and I believe this too, because I've tapped into it myself. That space behind your heart is where the guide is. And when you tap into that, you will feel pure love, and it will be overwhelming to the point where I thought, since I've been doing this work for so long, that when I first started doing that one in meditation, I thought I had no problem doing it. And the first time I did it, I got into about 2-3 minutes, and I had to stop because it was just so overwhelming. It felt great. It felt overwhelming. I was just like, phew. So it took me like 3-4 days before I could actually do it for 5 minutes.
Go back in. Yeah, yeah. And it can be kind of scary for some people when they're not used to it, because the heart starts expanding, as you said, in such a way it's overwhelmingly so pure and so beautiful. It's like, wow, wait, my head cannot get in this conversation. What the hell is going on? The head's like, you can't leave me out of this. This is so much love in here. What the hell? So, and the heart chakra, the back chakra of the heart is where we receive love, and the front of the heart chakra is where love is given. And so, it's, you know, it's also important to clear the heart chakra from the back and the front. Because a lot of times, like for me, for the longest time, it was so easy for me to give, and just give. Because it was easier for me to give than to receive in any kind of way. And it took me about a year of intensive healing before I could... just stop and know that, okay, it's mm-hmm. safe to receive. It's safe to not be the giver all the time. And mm-hmm. the fear is really the fear of receiving. I had closed off the back of my heart chakra.
That's what you're doing, right? I mean, when I was sitting there focusing on, what I did was I bowed my head, I focused on the essence behind my heart, and I started saying, I am love, I am love. And we mm-hmm. all know what I am is. That's pure God energy. And then you started focusing on the whole thing, and I was saying, I am love, I am love. And see, what the problem was, why it was so overwhelming, because, again, like you said, I was used to giving all the time. And mm-hmm. at that moment of opening myself up to that love, I was mm-hmm. learning how to receive and mm-hmm. finally realizing how much I wasn't really open to allowing that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because of religious implications. Religious implications, think about it. What do they teach you a lot? It's better to give than it is to receive.
Correct. Yeah. Very true. Mm-hmm.
And if you really look in the Bible, it doesn't really say that.
Correct.
If you look at Jesus and what he did, he was constantly giving, but he was also expecting people to actually follow through. Like with, for example, when the storm was happening, they were crossing, I think they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and the big old storm comes in, and the disciples are going, you know, Jesus is sleeping, and they're going, doesn't he realize there's a big storm going on? Was he? Before that, they had all these lessons, and Jesus taught them all these things about themselves. So therefore, the reason he was sleeping, because he didn't see the emergency because he felt like they should have tapped into their own abilities of saying, because when I first started talking to Michelle, I was sitting there saying, we have to get past the point anymore. We cannot sit there and say anymore that we're not gods, because if we want to sit there and claim to be made in the image, then we're going to have to claim the other part that goes with it. No matter mm-hmm. how scary it is, to sit there and say, yes, you are. You are a god, and you are very capable of creating mm-hmm. anything you want to, and your circumstances are not more powerful than you are. You've made them that way because you don't want to
attack
that power and energy.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus did say that to whenever he did his healings, he would always say, you can do greater things than I can. You can do more than I can. He never set a limitation on people, because being a healer himself, he wanted people to know that they had the source ability to heal themselves too. It was a matter of faith and hope and knowing that it was already within them, and a matter of bringing it forth.
And to sit here and look at the situation, why would in the Bible, if you read the situation correctly too, the reason the devil is so jealous, because we are made so much in the image of God.
And we can also look at the other side of the devil being what it is, that it can also represent our egos or our pride, you know?
Mm-hmm. And how it works against us, and where we send you going.
Yeah. The devil's against me. This devil outside of me is against me. But we are part of the whole, so nothing is separate from us. The man that robs the bank, we have the ability to do it too. It's a matter of choice.
That's true too. But if you also look at the garden, and Adam and Eve and that kind of stuff. Okay, there was a serpent in the garden tempting Eve, okay? But mm-hmm. the reason man had such a catastrophe to fall against him, I think, personally, is the idea of the fear. Okay, I've done something wrong, so therefore I have to punish myself.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at a lot of people when you sit there and talk to them, they're more harder on themselves than anybody else can be harder on them because of
we judge ourselves to the very core. And judgment, and that's the other thing with the human condition, we're so good at being so forgiving to everyone else but ourselves first. We're giving the gas mask to everybody else but ourselves. And we overjudge ourselves on every little thing, you know. And it's okay, we make mistakes, we're human. And the lesson here is to be aware. Be consciously aware of what's going on, how you're doing things, what causes this. And that's how changes happen. I know the Bible says that we are all sinners. And I had this conversation with the gentleman when I had my car accident over a year ago. And he was a very nice gentleman. But heaven forbid, I kind of didn't like going to my therapy sessions, physical therapy, because he would jump on me about, you know, God is good and great. And I'm like, yes, he is. But then he would supersede it to where it's like, you know, we're all sinners. We are all sinners. And so by the third day, I had to jump in and share with him. I said, you know, I do not believe in us being sinners. I know that we are here to learn and to grow. So to say that we're sinners, we're judging ourselves and saying we're just not worthy of anything. Only Jesus is great. Only God is great. So we're looking outside ourselves, and we're looking to other people also.
Can we ask that question? No, I was going to be talking about the situation with Adam and Eve. If you look at the situation with Adam and Eve, yes, he's right. They made a mistake. And actually, if you look at the situation, Adam actually made more of a mistake than Eve did. But see, Eve didn't know, but Adam did. He was told by God himself, do not eat of the tree. But see, the one thing I look at, too, I look at like this. Adam, I think God said, don't eat of the tree, because therefore you will see one thing, what? Duality.
Mm-hmm. Correct, and that's where it happens.
So we look at the situation very clearly, too, with the idea of the situation. Like, I was sitting there looking it up real quick, because I wanted to get to seeing the full extent of the whole thing, to sit there and read the definition of what sin is. Because I was right, I had it written down, I got some new journals. Because I was sort of looking at the situation, too, of telling each other, if you can sit there and work with affirmations to turn a bad situation into a positive situation, doesn't that kind of contradict the rest of the people saying we can't change our lives, that we're going to be condemned to be this way? Even the Bible. The Bible says if you continue to do what you're doing, this is going to be your outcome. But by making that statement, it also says to me that if we change, then the outcomes change too.
Mm-hmm.
And people are sitting there going, okay, you guys are talking about a lot of religious stuff. No, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most thing you can find out there is spirituality. I was actually in the bookstore the other day, and I saw this thing, the Gnostics of Jesus Christ teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Gospel of Mary Magdalene.
Well, Jesus was a spiritualist. He wasn't even a religion pusher, to put it such a way.
No, that's a new one.
Yeah, but see, you have to understand one thing, too. In order to actually do what he did, he would have to be separate from religion. He has to be separate from everything and be totally different. And when you look at the situation, a lot of people, it seems to me like people have a tendency to do one thing, is they dwell on one thing. Jesus died on the cross. And when I sit there and read that whole thing, if there's a situation where Jesus rose from the dead, I think the latter part is the important part, because that's the last thing that happened. But it was also showing that Jesus also ascended into heaven in physical form. Because he was showing the physical ailments that happened to him in the process of being nailed on the cross. And if everybody watched the Passion of the Christ, you get the full extent of what it was like to be nailed on the cross. We're talking about Romans. We're talking about that was their way of crucifying. That's what they did with everybody. If you did something wrong, that's what you were doing. You were crucified on the cross. So everybody's thinking that the cross thing was just brought up because it was a Jesus thing. No, it was a Roman thing. And if the story goes, He was crucified on the cross because he didn't do anything. But realistically, his destiny was to sit there and show everybody the processes of being falsely accused of anything, that you can rise above it and come out on the other side anew. And people keep looking at the situation, you know, down the cross. Okay, that's great. But in the process of dying on the cross, it was the ideal. Most of us got to do the same thing. In the process of he buried a cross, he carried that cross. But he got rid of it in the process of rising from the dead, which is the ideal most of us are going through of changing our lives. The truest form of manifestation is we want to go from one as this old life that we have and then change it into a newer life, which is totally different, which is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the whole experience, not just the one thing. Everybody wants to emphasize on the whole thing. And I was like, okay. So I was actually looking up the thing where it talks about sin. Sin, the definition of sin is the lack of. So therefore, when it says that all men sin, that's because we're always feeding the lack of. And we were sitting there talking about that too, where we were sort of focusing on things and saying, okay, you want how easy it is for you guys to focus on the lack of? It's like you sit there and look at somebody and go, okay, let me give you some numbers. I want to watch what you do. Okay? It's the idea of telling you what you think is missing. When you sit and say, there's like 3, 6, there's 18, 19, 21, and 25. And then you sit there and look at them and go, okay, what numbers are missing? It's amazing how people just go right to what is missing, the lack of. And that's how we do on everything. Look at the ideal relationships right now. I've been dealing with some stupid-ass men who keep saying, I don't know what I want. I don't know how to feel. Oh, I want to have a relationship. I want to find my soulmate. I just don't think this is the time for that. When I focus on the situation going, you know something? You are so full of it. And to look at these people who refuse to focus on what's really going on now, because my freaking thing is like this. If two people have attracted each other and they're crossing each other's path, even to the point they're talking to each other face to face, the reason it's happening is because they both want it.
Okay.
So to me, it's a contradiction.
No, it's actually good.
Okay. Who's humming?
I'm sorry, I was talking to someone. Might have been me.
Okay. Okay, no problem.
But I wasn't humming.
Okay. I trust you. Okay, it says evil exists all in your mind. It's a human creation, which Jesus told us not to resist. When we achieve a consciousness of truth, evil disappears in our lives. It's not real, but can appear real if we fight it. That's what it is, we fight it. It says reincarnation is an absolute certainty. Meditation is a way of entering the inner kingdom and can be a dramatic, dynamic, life-changing experience. Man is actually immortal, but because of its perception of when it's put to a place for something that was duality, they can't see themselves as immortal. They don't forget.
Sorry. Thank you.
What the heck? Somebody fall into a freaking can?
Sounds like a bowling alley. They're setting up the pins.
I was closing the gate.
Okay.
Be quiet. Bowling alley, I like that one.
Were you closing the pearly gates?
Yeah, well, yes.
Okay,
it's a metal gate.
It says that man is the highest manifestation of God. Man is God in expression, the image and likeness of God, the very spirit of God individualized. The ideal of the original sin is totally false, but a God of love and infinite wisdom would tempt man is absurd and is not in keeping with the nature of God. Let's see. And it says that sin is, the definition of sin is a lack of. And the reason you look at the situation of people, like when people steal, the reason they steal is because of the lack of what they don't have. They want to take it from somebody else. When someone commits adultery, it's because they feel like they have to because they don't have somebody. So they feel like they're going to take it from somebody else. So when you start looking at those situations and stealing in the Bible cannot mean materialistic things like cars and stuff like that, because it's coming from a spiritual context, which is spirituality. And God didn't know what cars are. I mean, no one knew what cars were up until, what, the first part of the last century. So when you start looking at those situations of theft and stealing, and, over in the Middle East, I mean, they really took it seriously, too. If you got caught stealing from somebody, you could tell a person who was a thief. They probably didn't have no arms or legs, because every time you got caught stealing or something, you would lose that extremity.
Something would be taken from you, yeah.
Yeah,
now,
so you lose your
hand. They cut off your hand,
or
they used to.
So if you got to say, there's a couple of things where you see a guy walks in, he's got two hands missing, a foot, because he was really good at stealing things that he actually learned how to steal from his feet. But it's interesting, that's not true. I mean, right now there was a lady I saw not too long ago who was born with no arms, who still drives. She actually drives a spaceship with her legs.
Wow.
Yeah, so you know, the idea of saying those things is impossible. Give me a break, man. Anybody, see, that's what I'm saying before when we were talking about the idea of when we sit her, when we had the show with the lady who was sitting there saying that she got raped and beat up and that kind of stuff, and she said she wasn't going to claim to be a victim. She was going to say, well, since if I would listen to my angels and guides, it would never happen. It's the same thing with a lot of people, too, who are born with certain things. You know, what makes the difference between the person who's in a wheelchair who sits there and goes, oh, poor me, to the other person who's in a wheelchair who actually takes care of themselves, learns to drive, learns to do all these things, learns to be self-efficient? What's the difference? Mm-hmm. It's perception. It's probably, you know, it's one of those things of how they perceive the world. They look at themselves. They don't have the faith in themselves, so they have the faith in nothing else. They don't think they can. Mm-hmm. But here's the other person who's in the same situation who took the thing by the hands and did a totally different thing, who is self-efficient. So to sit there and say we can't do these things, the idea of manifesting our lives where we want to, I've seen too many people with handicaps do just that. So people who don't have handicaps, they don't have any freaking restrictions. So there's no reason why their life should not be great and fantastic. Let me see. April, are you there?
Yeah.
What do you think about what we're talking about tonight? What is your opinion? I'm pretty sure you have one. I know you do. You're a very intelligent, deep-thinking woman, too, as well. So what are your perceptions of what we've been talking about tonight? Give us how you feel. What's your perception?
About affirmations.
The perceptions of things we're talking about, religion. I mean, just anything.
Well, I think affirmations work. I've been using them because I talk to you and I just repeat after you whenever you say yours, and then I made up some of my own, and I don't believe in lack anymore. I have like a lot less stress. My mood is a lot better. And sometimes I'm like, I don't have enough money to afford that. But like, it seems like I always have money left in my account after I buy everything I need. And I'm like, how do I still have money left everywhere? That doesn't make any sense. And then there was that one time where I got the bank error where like money was added to my account, but it wasn't in my transactions. I'm like, where did that money come from?
Yeah, after a while, you just stop asking the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Just you know, like one night we did a show where I just read my journal, and every time I read something, I would say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And she was like, that's the best thing I ever heard, because she said, everything in your journal, you always say thank you after you've written it. So you're always thinking before, you're always being thankful before it even happens. And that actually adds to the energy, too, of things coming to pass a whole lot quicker. Plus, it was also a situation, it was a part in the Bible where there's this lady who works her way through the crowd, because she knows for a fact if she touches Jesus, that she's going to be healed. So she wiggles her way through the crowd. She touches Jesus. She touches his cloth. And she's healed.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody focuses on that part. But for some reason, someone has a tendency to miss the latter part where he looks at her and said, I didn't heal you. Your faith healed you. And it's the idea of looking at Jesus as the perfect human.
Mm-hmm.
And reminding you who you are. So therefore, what happened in the process of her touching him, she was reminded of who she is, so therefore she healed herself.
Correct.
But Jesus was the big thing, was the focus point, okay? You know, when I read this book on, I used to have this couple of books on quantum healing, and he basically says that in the process of touching somebody else, it's like two computers tapping each other, and one computer's got a program that's corrupted, and he wants to tap into the other one so he can heal that program. And it's basically what two humans are doing. So when you touch someone to heal them, they're tapping into your body right now because you don't have the ailments that they do. So the body can tap into you, create a force field, use that energy, and as you're focusing and taking your energy into that person, they're able to use that energy force to heal that body, but also they're tapping into a pattern that they can also use as where that healing should be at and where it should go. And that one guy said, it's so funny, too, because every time you do that, you know, you don't have to point it. You don't have to point the energy into the place where the ailment's at. It always seems to find that ailment and heal it and correct it and perfect it. And he said it's kind of funny that, you know, when we're doing the healings, that anybody can direct and do these kind of things. and he said that we're not trying to take away from the ideal of divinity and Jesus, what he was, but even Jesus said himself, like you said before, that you have, you're going to do greater works than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's going to be on a massive scale. Just
correct.
The idea of realizing you can do it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to set a chain reaction because, I mean, think about this. Jesus came as one person. He didn't come as a group or a band.
Yeah.
He came as one person so that that's another example, too, is showing people of what you can do
mm-hmm.
as an individual that can change the world in a dramatic way. Like just Jesus did not sit there and go, well, you know, this ain't working. So let's go get a haircut and let's go get some plastic surgery. Let's go change our ways. I can't find a woman, so I'm going to change my clothes and shave this and that kind of stuff like that. He didn't do those things. He was
mm-hmm.
who he was, and he never made any excuses for that. And I don't think we shouldn't do that. We should do the same thing. We are who we are. We were born that way, and that's what we should do it. And I think if you're born a certain way, you should ask yourself why. And say, okay. Because I was reading that one situation, too, where it's like, okay, give yourself permission to change. Create a new life with new rules that totally support you. And then be ready for the change. The ideal of sitting, because when you start looking at things like yesterday we were talking about before, you know, we can no longer sit there and look either and say a 40-year-old or
mm-hmm.
my favorite one, you guys act like a married couple. You know, based on what? The perfect married couple. Let's go back to before even Adam and Eve basically made a mistake. They were the perfect relationship. They were the perfect couple.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They worked together constantly. Even after they got put out of the garden, they worked together. They
yep.
did this thing with love, respect, like thing like that. So when you start looking at situations like that, a lot of relationships don't work out because of that lack of respect. You know, usually have somebody in the relationship. I've seen this a couple times in relationship counseling I've done, where you look at the situation and go, okay, why is it not working? Well, if you're just going to look at the situation, there's nothing wrong with two individuals focusing on themselves as long as there's some kind of focus on the relationship too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason you're focusing on each other. When you focus on yourself and really know who you are, and then you're able to, it's easier for you to commit to the relationship.
Yeah, and personally, I from what I have come to know, and I truly am passionate about when I see, you know, friends or couples or whoever that are going into a relationship, that my advice is always, if you're going in as a 50-50, you're bound for failure. Because you're going in 50% of you and you're looking for the other 50% to make you, to fit you, and it's not going to happen. You've got to go in 100% of all of you, knowing that you have found your beloved within yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you know you, you have your love, and you're not seeking it outside of you. And that way your partner will see this in you. Through the soles of your eyes, and it, you know, you've got 100% of each person coming together.
Mhm. Exactly. Yeah, like that. Saw that one thing too, where it says if you're looking for love out there, you're going to fail every time.
Correct.
Because love's not out there. Love is within you. So therefore, when
correct.
You give your love, because I was telling Billy, I said, think about it. Imagine this: you start giving yourself unconditional love to the point where it's overflowing. It's going to
mm-hmm.
touch everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to touch everybody's life. By just giving love to yourself, you're going to touch everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you said, yeah, because it's like looking at the situation of Jesus. I mean, Jesus just who he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he loved everyone and everyone. But he also, you can't sit there and say the man didn't love himself.
Correct.
It's actually said that some of the books in the Bible were taken out, and most of them are because of Jesus' life, how he was raised, how he came up and what he went through. And it was actually one priest that said they should have left those books in there because it shows how a person evolves. And most people have to go through certain things to become
mm-hmm.
great. And some of those things
yeah.
that they did to get that greatness to become who they are,
mm-hmm.
we probably would look at them as not being the best things in the world, but they learned from those things, those mistakes and whatever. And he said there were some things that Jesus did that just helped people understand how people progressed to be where he was at, to understand
mm-hmm.
the whole thing. And he felt like the reason they shouldn't have ever took him out of there because it helps everybody else to also reach their spiritual potential too, because it gives them an outline of what they get when, you know, what when one person went through. Because if you start looking at it, if Jesus came back to remind us who we are, is the idea of a perfect being.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so therefore the ideal of being perfect is definitely obtainable. And the more you go for that perfection, the more you go for, because Jesus is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the perfect human. He was the perfect spiritual person. He was, and that's what I was saying before. The scriptures say that you can't be a perfect person and you can form, goes against the whole thing. The scriptures saying it's a contradiction. And Christians seem like, those scriptures say some of the ones that I know have a tendency to be a contradiction to say that we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
When we come from a perfect, when it's been proven for beyond a shadow of a doubt that in Genesis, Adam was a perfect man. His thinking wasn't too, you know, his thinking and maybe the thing he thought about he shouldn't have done, okay, but
mm-hmm.
think about it.
But that's the beauty of it. We're perfect and imperfect in every way. I mean,
I'm just saying, when you were talking about getting your energy from your head down to your heart, it makes perfect sense because at the time Adam made his decision, he was in his head.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have been in his heart, he would have knew. Just, you know, God was not hiding anything from him. God was not doing anything. And not trying to control him. God was protecting
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
Was like saying, okay, you don't need to. I mean, could he have done the whole thing? But the perfect point about the whole thing is to just show everybody else that when you don't sit and follow your heart, you always have a tendency to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Because you're not truly tapping into if you love, and that love always connects everybody. So therefore, you know the person is always coming from every time. And he would have knew for a fact that, like I was starting to tell people before, I said, think about this really. You guys think that is crazy, and you all want to sit there and get rebellious when you're young and say, you know something? God said, you know, it says in the Bible somewhere that you should, you know, no sex before marriage. Okay? Let's say it does say that in there. If you think about that whole, if you think about that one statement, really, think about what it would have, that one thing, if you would have listened, to realize it was protecting you from the future. To help you understand that if you would have done that one thing and waited for your significant other, you would not have half the baggage. You wouldn't have no baggage. You wouldn't have any chaos. You would not have insecurities. You wouldn't have all this craziness. You would know yourself beyond the shadow of a doubt. You would know who you are. But since you made that choice of putting yourself into someone else's clutches, of the idea of connecting with somebody before you were ready to connect with somebody else, it brings on a lot of confusion where you're thinking, okay, I'm in love with this person, but it could be simply not being in love with somebody. It's the idea of being connected to that person that you don't understand what that connection is all about. So therefore, we got confusion, we got all kinds of stuff. Look at men, have sex, next thing you know, same for 2 days. That's because
mm-hmm.
all that emotion came out at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize what really happens in the process of committing to yourself to somebody in that kind of an act, what is really going on between two people and why there's
mm-hmm.
so much chaos around it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not ready for it, you're not ready for it. And the idea of saying, you know, the idea of not doing it is nothing wrong with that either. And people is like, you know, it's just crazy with the situation. I was thinking about that same statement. It's like, okay, if we would have done that and we wouldn't have done anything, they're right. We wouldn't have Tom, Dick, and Harry back there that we got hurt by. We wouldn't have all this. We wouldn't have any of those things. If we would just listened and followed our paths and said, okay, there's one significant person for us. Even society, man. I was thinking, you know, psychiatrists and psychotherapists and some of these people, some of the freaking philosophy they're giving out. You know, go out there and test about 10 or 12 guys and see what's up. I'm sitting there going, are you nuts? And, you know, to sit there and say, I heard this said too, that you have a choice between three guys. Which one is it going to be? Well, which one do you really want to be with? I'm saying if your energy is in three different directions, you're really never going to know, because you need to take your energy and focus on one completely before you're ever going to know how that situation is going to play itself out. You split realistically, your energy, if you look at twin flames and soulmates, your energy has already been split up because it's like two energies trying to find each other. So if that energy is split into three different directions on purpose, it's going to be kind of hard to find a way home, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that lady called me one time, and she goes, I got these six guys. What I can't understand is why I can't find somebody to be faithful. And I said, dear, are you really serious about this question? And she goes, what do you mean? I said, you can't find someone to be faithful because you're not. Because you're dating six guys because of the fear of not having anybody, that you don't realize you put yourself in a situation of being unfaithful. That's why
yeah.
you can't find someone who's going to be faithful to you, because you're not being faithful. She goes, what do you mean?
And at times it can also be an energy of their own projection that, okay, this is going to happen again anyway, so energetically they're projecting it, and so the other energy field can only honor, okay, this is out there, and so I shall bring this forth for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they've gone from one relationship to another where it's been unfaithful, or they're just expecting it to happen because of some traumas that they've gone through. And so energetically they're projecting this out, and so they're calling in this energy, hey, come play, even though I'm saying I want a perfect man that's good to me, who won't cheat, and also mentally they're saying, I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want this, and so the more you say, I don't want, I don't want, I don't want, the energy field says, oh, you don't? Okay, I'll give you more. Until you realize you start saying
too.
This is what you want rather than not what you don't want.
Well, what's so funny about the situation is, if you took the six guys and shoved them together, you'd have a perfect mirror. And I sit and told her, I said, I don't know what's happening here. Is at the time that you were focusing on a certain quality that you really wanted, you attracted that guy. And you attracted, then you're thinking, this guy doesn't have this certain quality. Then you start thinking on another quality, and you attract another guy. Then you say, well, okay, he doesn't have the quality that I want, too. There's a couple missing, too. So then you attract another guy. there's also two sides of that equation where you can, I agree with you, too, you can attract all the people you don't want. At the same time, you can also attract, as you're focusing on each individual characteristic, you also attract a guy for each one of those. Next thing you've got six guys going, I don't know what I should do. I do. Start over. Just wipe the slate clean, do the windshield wiper thing, you know. And they go, but this one guy is really good in bed. And I'm sorry, dear, but really, just look at the situation. I know people understand this one, but it said that in a really great relationship, sex is 25%. In a bad relationship, it's almost 95%.
Makes sense.
Yeah, they found what works, not realizing that's always going to work because it's a physical thing. Emotions are things that you're going to have to intentionally, you know, from time. When I sit and tell people when I do relationship counseling, I say what I call doing the work, it means if you're a person that comes into a relationship and you start giving flowers and just gifts and that kind of stuff, and you portray yourself a certain way, you better be that way, because you're going to be doing it for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the work, because the first time you don't do it, they're going to think that you're fake, you're a phony, and the reason you were just doing that was just to get over on them or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to work against you. So my biggest thing and my biggest recommendation for any kind of relationship is when you go into it, be exactly who you are, speak your mind, whatever. Because the one thing I've seen the most with women is, I can't be this aggressive woman, because if I do, the guy's going to run away. And I say, good riddance, because if he can't deal with who you are, really who you are, then he's not for you, because that's who you are. And you're disrespecting yourself at that time. Let me ask Dee something. Is there anybody else in the queue?
If what?
Dee, are you there? Dee. Here's a question. April, are you there?
Uh-oh.
April.
Oh, I'm here. I had my phone on mute.
Okay, April. I'm just looking for some other inputs of people, how people feel about relationships and that kind of stuff. And the biggest thing, my question always is to everybody is, because I've heard these things talked about so many times, where there's always all these people have different variations, and they're always dating multiple people and trying to figure out who the right one is. What do you think about how people should perceive relationships? Don't you think it should be one-on-one?
Yeah, if you don't, if you think that you have to date six people to figure out which one is right, then apparently none of them are right. Because if they were the right one,
perhaps
then
she
would
learned
know
something
it.
From all six of them that. Out of all six of them, that she said, okay, this is what I would like, and this is what I don't like. And the next one, this is, okay, this is what I would like, and this is what I would not like. So after the, all six men, she must have found something that she would want in the final man.
Yeah, but
one
the point was,
I hope.
She didn't find anything in those men. All she found,
no.
All she found was more questions and more questions and more questions.
So she wasn't
so
paying attention.
Maybe, yeah. That could be true, too. But, you know, with the situation, not paying attention and not really seeing it, then all
mm-hmm.
she can do is walk away from the situation. And then maybe
yeah.
by walking away from it, then she can see
yes.
it, what she should have
These
seen in the first
things come
place.
Into your life to see, are you paying attention? Are you consciously paying attention? And what is there for you to take away from this? It may not be the best situation. You may not be liking it, but what are you taking away from this? Rather than going in your head and questioning it, because you'll never find the answer.
That's the thing, too. Too many freaking questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. It was just, like you said before, I think if she would have took the energy herself and took it from her head down to her heart and seen
yes.
what she really felt with the whole thing, then she would have seen things what they are. But
right.
I'm just saying, I dealt with the lady personally, and when I started picking up on all this thing, it just seemed like she attracted a guy for each individual thing that she wanted on her list. It's amazing she didn't have 10 guys. I got 10 things I wanted a man, and I tried to 10 guys, and it's like, okay, which one is it? I said, well, I'll just get your bulldozer and shove them together. There's your perfect guy. But she was like, okay, but how's that work for me? It's like looking at someone and saying, okay, what do you know about you? Each one of these individual guys were pointing out to her more about herself and say, okay, you say you want this quality, but do you have this quality yourself? I mean, we've all seen this before. A woman comes and says, hey, I want to find a guy who's going to love me unconditionally. And the one thing she can't do is love unconditionally. The first thing she wants to do, is what I call them, is like she wants to have a project or a fixer-upper.
Yeah.
She wants to mold that guy into what she wants him to be.
Yeah,
and
that's something women need to learn is, or be aware of, is you can't go into a relationship trying to rearrange their wardrobe, as in rearrange this person. You can't. It's just not for you to do.
The only time that situation would work like that is saying that you get together with somebody, right? And there's certain things that come up out of
you can assist them in their growth,
yeah.
but you can't fix them.
That's what I'm saying. Assistance where it's at, where two people can actually, after being through so many relationships, not being able to be themselves, they have a tendency to lose who they are. And then
yeah.
when you find the right person, it has a tendency to reawaken who you really are, too.
Yeah.
So in that situation, you're not really rebuilding anybody. You're just enabling that person to come back out again because of who you are, and it's working on both sides. You said before, 100%, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found the same thing, too. People sitting there going, you know, 50-50. Nope.
Mm-mm.
When you clean house, do you only clean half of it, or do you clean the whole house?
Exactly. Exactly.
When you drive to work, do you only drive halfway there? I don't think so. But that was crazy. But it's the truth. When you look at the situations, and, you know, like life can be so rewarding when you just throw yourself into these situations. Because, you know, you were talking about before about the giving and giving and giving. But we could also look at it as a different scenario of being and doing. Everybody wants to do, instead of resting some time and just allowing things to fall into place. Because if you put yourself in a mode of constantly doing all the time, you might actually run by your freaking soulmate. Instead of relaxing and say, okay, I've done the work, I've put it out there, it's doing really great, it's going fantastic, but what else can I do? If there's nothing else coming to you to be done, then there's nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always sit there and say, you know, when you get guidance that says do something, do it to your fullest. But if there's nothing, also relax and be yourself to the fullest too, just allowing it to happen. They work both
mm-hmm.
together too, as much as the giving and receiving. But we're talking about the idea of people have a tough time loving themselves is because they're so much into giving. they don't realize that to give to oneself is to give and receive at the same time. It's in contact with you and who you are. Can you do it? We sure hope so. I was going to say, and this is where we got kind of caught up in the whole thing. I was just saying, seriously, look at the ideal definition of what sin is. Sin is the lack of. I guarantee you, if you love yourself unconditionally, love everyone and everything that crosses your path unconditionally, you will never break the Ten Commandments. So therefore, what do you got to do? Because I've seen this so many times where people go, well, this guy will not do what I want him to do. And see, the perfect example to know that you're not with the right guy is when the guy looks you in the face and says,
and that's the time to walk away too.
I'm just saying, if you have a guy who sits there and looks you in the face and said, and he tells you, I've tried to be what you wanted, he's not the guy for you, because he's trying to be what you want to be. He's not being himself. And the key to any kind of great relationship is two people to be who they are. And then they join together to become something great. If you don't know how great you are, then you can't come together to be something great. The greatest line I ever heard in a movie was Independence Day. Okay? The guy's arguing with this woman. And she looked him right in the face because she was like working on the staff of the White House and doing all kinds of stuff, and she just thought that was the most special thing to do. And she looks at her ex-husband and says, don't you want to be part of something special? And he says, I thought I was.
Oops.
Put her right in her tracks and stopped her right there and said, oh, okay. You're looking, because at that moment, she started realizing that what she thought was special is something she was looking for out there. See? And so, some people get it. And I think we should pay attention to those people who get it, so therefore we can get it too as well. So, it's amazing what you can find in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite movie is Serendipity. Has anybody ever seen Serendipity? Raise your hands.
I don't remember.
Raise your hand if you're sure. No, I didn't.
I don't remember.
Does anybody know?
Oh, yeah, where they eventually meet somewhere and they track each other. Somehow.
Yeah, what happens? They come together, and the girl is so dead bent on making sure that it's real that she goes through all these things that she thinks she has to do. If there's any kind of impact,
she puts in more effort than was needed.
What's that?
And if I'm correct, that was the one where the more effort she put into it, the harder it was. And when she just stopped and just let go, it just came together.
Yeah, but it was also it started out that way because when they first got together, it's a Christmas time, and they meet each other at a place called Serendipity, and they meet each other, and he says, well, why don't you give me your number, that kind of stuff, and we kind of run into each other, and she's like, no. She goes, it's been good, it's been great, and he goes, okay, so if it happens again, he said, well, if we see each other again, then we'll see. Well, 15 minutes later, she forgot her scarf and hat in the same restaurant, in the same store. They come back and they run into each other because they both forgot something there. So they both come together. They both click. And he looks at her and goes, so what do you want to do now? And she goes, I don't know. He goes, well, let's just go out and experience New York. So they go out and start doing the whole thing, getting to know each other. And then it starts getting really good and heavy. And then she gave him her phone number. Well, in the process of giving that phone number, a big old trash truck comes by, hits him with a big old gust of wind, and the phone number goes flying everywhere. And she goes, that's a sign, which everybody would have saw it as something. It was just getting a piece of paper at the phone number now. But she looks at the whole thing like that, and then she's like, I don't know. She goes, I think we should back off. She goes, I think it's the universe telling us that we should back off. And he goes, okay, well, you just had a great freaking fantastic night, and all this thing's going on. You're telling me the universe is telling us to back off just because the freaking one phone number went flying across the freaking road. And she goes, okay, let's try this. So she grabs the guy, takes him to a hotel, and he goes, okay, this is a switch. And she goes, no. She goes, just follow me. She goes, you're taking me to a hotel. What she does is, it's a big hotel with about 6 elevators. So she goes to the elevators, and she goes, I'm going to get in this elevator, you're going to get in the elevator. If we push the same floor and meet the same floor, then it's meant to happen. and then we'll go from there.
I remember that movie.
Yeah, so she gets. So what's so funny about it is when they both get in the elevator, they both push the same. They both push the same floor, except for he shows up 5 minutes later because all the people went around in his elevator. But it was also showing you in the process of when we know something's right, we still have fears that we still attract. And that's what he's doing. What happens if these people start getting in the elevator and I don't get there on time? And it's exactly what happens. But then they kind of put the thing out there, and they go their separate ways. But see, what happened was, before that happened was, she was still having her doubts. What she did was, she took a $5 bill and wrote his phone number and his name on the $5 bill, and then she went across the store, went across the street and gave it to a hot dog vendor and sent it out to the universe. And then, he says, "Well, it's only fair that you send something out there with your information on it too." And she goes, "You're right." So she had a book. She bought a book, and she goes, "When I get home, I'm gonna write my name and phone number in it and send out to the universe tomorrow." Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that's when she decided to take him to the hotel, and that's when they actually split ways. And then 10 years later, they're both kind of questioning it. He's getting married, and she's getting married. Two different people. But they're still having this doubt within themselves of being pulled in a certain direction. So they decide to go out there. That's what you're talking about before, where they were both dead bent on trying to find each other. And when they finally just gave up and said, whatever happens, and just gave up, that's when they found each other. And they found each other exactly where they met each other the first time, which was kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. But it was amazing to watch two people go through all these crazy things, and some of the things they were saying and some of the things they were doing. But they had two best friends that were just saying, "You're driving me nuts. You're driving me crazy. If it has to be this way, it has to be this way, or do that way." We all have friends that we always have a tendency to drag with us on these adventures too, as well. It's always when we give in and let go of it, everything unfolds the way we want it to, and usually it unfolds better.
Mm-hmm.
What's everybody think? Now it's your turn to show. It's like, look at the situation. Should we chase after it, or should we let it come to us?
Right.
So what do you think?
I think I don't remember all those little details about going in the elevator and all that, but it sums it up, doesn't it?
Yes.
It comes down to also trying to hold on to certain things. Not meant to be. It's not going to add up in the end. It's not going to show up.
But it's also saying, it's also showing too with the situations. I mean, the one thing is I noticed in the movie too, that when both of the people were being themselves, they found each other. When they were pretending to be somebody else, they ended up with somebody else, and then found out later on it wasn't. So one thing I thought of the movie too. In the movie, it also says, the two people were getting married to two different people. They found out it wasn't the ideal. The two people wasn't right for them.
Mm-hmm.
It was realizing that the idea of finding each other. It wasn't the ideal of finding each other. It was realizing where they didn't want to be at. But they did realize where they wanted to be at. Even if it wasn't the two of them, they know it was like summing things up and saying they didn't want to get married.
Right.
To those good people. It didn't mean those people were bad or good. And I thought what was so wild about the movie was the girl was getting ready to give up when they gave up on the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's when the book and the $5 bill came to the surface. The girl's in the airplane getting ready to, she was getting ready to leave and go back to L.A. Mm-hmm. And she found a $5 bill with his name and phone number on it. And the same thing was when what's his name was getting married, his fiance gave him a wedding gift that was the book with her name and number in it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't tell me destiny doesn't show its hand when it's when it's necessary to make sure everything happens just the way it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, it's already been predestined.
Somehow watching that movie, it's almost like they could have been together a long time ago if it hadn't been for the woman being so ridiculous.
Yeah, what the biggest problem was, she thought the universe was telling them to back off when it was her fears
Yeah, exactly. The universe wasn't telling her to back off. She just, she was running scared and being, I'm sorry, I'm going
to
call
it
like I see. She was being stupid.
Yeah, well, she was too good.
Get a cruel woman.
I'm just saying, she was saying it was too good to be true. So she had to sit there and say it was the universe. And even though she'd probably gone to psychics and everything else that told her otherwise, but she still, you can do that all the time. But if you have a lack of belief in yourself, you're not going to believe anybody because you don't believe yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, April?
It's your turn, April. April's been quiet.
What was the question again?
Would you have the French fries or the onion rings?
I had two chips. I only had two, and then I put the bag away.
Oh, so we caught you? Okay, you're in trouble.
I'll cut the onion rings with the beer batter, thank you.
No, we were saying about relationships. Don't you think relationships work better when you get to a point where you just let the relationship unfold the way it's supposed to? And the idea of finding that other person usually happens when you are least expecting it.
Oh, I usually don't have relationships unfold naturally. I usually have them happen when I want them because I do love spells.
Okay. So how would you describe the situation happening between me and you? Is it a spell too?
Well, I didn't have time to be single long enough, so maybe it was carry over from the previous love spell where I asked for certain qualities that I wanted, and you have the qualities that I wrote down. So.
Yeah, but could it also be the situation you're putting too much in the spell, not if you don't have confidence in yourself, then the spells don't work. What you were looking for was something that was lacking within yourself, which you found in the process of the situation. Did I say it too fast? I think it unfolded the way it was supposed to unfold, and we can sit there and say what we want to say, but when it comes to, you said this yourself before too, you've seen that sometimes with a situation using spells to get people back, they eventually have a tendency to leave anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when you look at a situation, the way it unfolded between me and you, can you really sit here and look at the situations and can you really honestly say that destiny didn't have something to do with it? I'm going to be one of those.
Came into my life right when I needed you.
Yeah.
And I came into your life right when you needed me.
Okay, so.
But it seems like you were expecting me to come because I saw your tarot cards on your Facebook saying new love and everything. You had just posted new love tarot card on your Facebook, and then boom, here I am.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I had new love, new beginnings. What was that one? She's beating down the door or something like that. Anyway, it's the idea of having, what was the other one I saw too, was talking about having faith that what you see is what you're going to get and what things are going to fall into place is going to be fine. What the heck is it? I'm just saying, everybody has a tendency to look at situations like that and look at it and say, it's like magic. I'm not trying to sit here and quote anything from Seattle, but when you say, look at those situations and the way they only unfold because two people want them.
Correct.
Because I've seen people with the spell thing too, and they say, they're like, it's not working. And I think it only really works for you. That's where I limit all the situations very quickly. Is when the conditions are right for both people to be and do. So therefore, it happens.
Okay, guys.
told myself I was ready for a big love. And it also been, and some people have a tendency to look at prayers and manifestations and affirmations as also magic, too. Some people call it conjuring up. I call it clearing the path. And affirmations are like a big old broom clearing out the path to the one I was supposed to be with. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Has anybody ever, has anybody else ever heard that? I heard a couple of times where people was what was it? There was a situation where the guy was considered saying that people who use affirmations are using witchcraft.
Well, it's invocation. It's not how it was described as the other person.
It's what?
It's kind of like an invocation, which isn't a bad thing. I mean,
all right.
That's all
no,
it is.
Affirmations aren't witchcraft.
Bringing it to life. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not even that. Mm-mm.
No, and people have such a misconception or perception
yeah.
of witchcraft, too. It gets
well,
a bad rap. I'm a witch, and I don't, you know, I'm not that versed yet and everything, and I don't do anything to interfere with anybody's free will, walk in the light.
Right, correct.
I was actually married to a minister at one time, God help us all. But everybody has these weird ideas about what, if you say you're a witch, they think you're, a lot of people think you're practicing Satanism, which couldn't be further
yeah.
from the truth, unless you happen to be a person who walks from the dark side of life and,
yeah.
You know, then steer clear of me, please. Thank you. I just don't get
well,
people's ideas. You know, it's. Go ahead.
Witchcraft implies that there's some kind of craft going on, and that means like working like some kind of artistic thing with your hands. And affirmations doesn't have anything crafty about it. It's just. Speaking, so I don't understand how that would be witchcraft. Like, there's mm-hmm. nothing that's being made with your hands at all.
No, it's what you do with your, well, you do it with your mind. In a sense, it's nothing you do with your hands. And even witchcraft, everything isn't something that you don't always conjure up some spell or something. And there are all kinds of people talk about spells, you know, we're talking about spells that to get somebody back and they don't work. That's
mm-hmm.
because the kind of spell that somebody did was the kind of spell that where you're
goes
tricking
against
somebody.
Free will.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're tricking somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There
mm-hmm.
are things that you could call a spell where you,
yeah.
for either party, either the man or the woman, where you enhance yourself
correct.
To make yourself more desirable, but that doesn't interfere with somebody's free will.
Mm-hmm.
When you interfere with somebody's free will, that to me is a big no-no.
Yeah.
It's the, the threefold law for one thing, which whatever you put out there for good or evil comes back to you threefold, or, you know, the other way is the tenfold thing. Either way, it's going to come back on you, and part of the Wiccan read, and I'm not necessarily a Wiccan, that comes third in my repertoire, but it's the idea that, you know, do as you will and harm none.
Yeah,
and too many and people don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think Wicca was something evil. When I first came back to where I am now, we had a free paper from that used to come out from another town, and there was something in there about Wicca. So you know, I was divorced from a minister, and I'm thinking, oh, this is satanic. Well, then I woke up and realized, oh, this is this isn't what it is at all. But some people prefer to stay in the dark and. Don't have a clue. That's very unfortunate that they don't, but they don't want to either. What they don't understand, they fear, and so you pay the price for it, sort of. Somebody putting the newspaper out tonight? So it sounds like.
The newspaper?
Yeah, it sounds like the presses of the newspaper.
Oh. Okay. That was
I don't know. It's just kind of. That's the full moon. We'll blame it on that.
So what's in store?
What's in store?
We're going to be
only
here tomorrow
good
night. Here we go, Dee. I'm going to have to, I'm someone banned the freaking switchboards, and hopefully Tuesday night I'll be okay because I'm supposed to have my internet
okay.
turned on.
I'll be here. I'll remember. I will make myself a note just in case so I don't screw up again.
I
was here,
book.
Though. I was here yelling at Donnie, and he's not here. I'm trying to get his attention. It's like, Donald Reed!
I was just sitting there going over the whole thing myself, going, I'm just talking, sitting there going over the, going over my stuff in the journal, going, you know, going with the flow of things and saying, this is how I feel, some messages I was picking up on. And just telling my, in the back of my mind, I was sitting there going, she's going to show up any minute now.
Yeah, well, I did. The goddess arrived.
You were invoked.
What?
That
was
you were invoked.
Yes. The Celtic goddess always arrives sooner or later.
That was a fantastic first part of the show, right?
Perfect timing.
Oh, always. No, not really. Not with me.
I don't know. The situation was kind of like, okay. I don't think I'll ever run out of stuff to talk about, but I don't think I've ever talked that long, that, you know, consistently that long. I mean, when I first started doing this, it was a different thing, you know. But though, I was sitting there looking at the situation in cards. Let's look at the cards here and talk about, ooh, I pulled out the Queen of Air. Now, the Queen of Air is actually the Queen of Wands, I think.
Hello, that's usually what I call myself.
It's independence, experienced, realistic, and witty. It talks about objective decision making, clearing away all that no longer serves you, seeing the humor in every situation. If you find the humor in everything else, your life will get a whole lot better. Look at the people's lives who have a tendency to look at everything as something bad and how bad their lives are. They just continue to keep eating that way, like a spiral going downwards. But I've seen people sit there and look at the situation and go, I did this one time. I was sitting there walking on ice and I slipped and fell. I knew I was going to fall. I just feel like I can still do it. And then all of a sudden I saw my feet before I hit the floor. But then I just started laughing. And people go, what's wrong with you? I said, I saw the humor of the whole thing. I could just imagine what you saw of me hitting the freaking ground. And I said, that's, to me, that's funny. And it didn't. And it seemed like I healed a little bit faster, too. I got bruised, but it didn't seem like, I'm almost like I forgot all about it. But it's like I'm in that situation I remember where I just dwelled on them, and it seemed like they lasted forever. So there must be something to the whole situation. But when you find the humor, and people have also said humor is like the best, laughter is the best medicine. So you put the two together, you got a great healing technique. So why don't we all just get out of here and have a good night, and if you want to tune in tomorrow night, we're hoping it won't be so event.
I made myself a note. Just in case.
All right. No problem.
11 p.m. my time.
Don't worry about it, dear. As soon as I get the internet turned on. Excuse me. I think about changing. I'm thinking about going and doing it during prime time, which is about 6 o'clock. For some reason, I keep getting this vision of doing them at 6. So therefore, everybody on the East Coast and everybody, but it'll be 8 o'clock.
You pick an interesting time.
Yeah, 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. So we're about changing the time on the whole thing, so I'll see that somebody getting up
night?
Turned on.
Tomorrow night, or?
No, I think about not changing until Tuesday.
Okay.
Just keep the weekend the way it is so everybody knows that we're here, because I've had people coming going, was you on tonight? Yes, he was. Just 2 hours early.
So in other words, the weekends aren't going to change.
I haven't decided yet, but I know during the week.
I think leave the weekends as they are.
Right. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Changing this, and that, and the other, see what's going on. Anyway, but tomorrow night, Sunday night, we'll be here again tonight, 9 p.m. Mountain Time, so join us. And until then, if you guys want to get a private reading from me, just give me a call at 740-500-8863. And tune and check us out, and we'll sort of tell you about all the specials we got going on. D, just give them the phone number and how they can reach you, too.
Okay, you can reach me at 207-374-5072 or at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. I take PayPal, and it's for donations, so hit me up.
Please hit me up. Let's see, April, your phone number is 919-600-1904, and your website is aprilangelmedium.yolasite.com.
Oh, another 5 minutes.
Huh?
Oh. I know. I was just talking to someone else.
12.
Oh, do you have some information you want to give out to everybody?
Oh, me? No. Not yet.
Yes, you do. You do, but you're a little bit timid about it, but you do.
You can't do. Yeah, do. I was on the same thing when you came on. I was like, just do a couple of mini readings on us. And I swear, we won't condemn you for the rest of your life.
You can tell me what you see for me anytime.
Well, just focus. Just
on the next call.
Okay, on the next show we have, the next time you pop in, just think about it. Sit down and do some readings with us, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I am being timid about it.
I'm just saying. Take some time.
I know, I'm a psychic. Can I say?
Yeah, it was funny last night with that lawyer guy. When I sit there and just said we're getting done the conversation, I said, "Oh, by the way, you need to finish that book and get it out there." Like, how'd you know about that? 1-800 psychic. You know, it's kind of amazing how many times you get asked that question, even on a psychic line. I had a lady do that one time too. She goes, "How'd you know that?" And I'm like, 1-800 psychic. She goes, "Oh, that's right. Okay, did you forget where you were?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not by short term memory loss, huh?
Matt, I'd say that's pretty bad.
Yeah. So I'm going to go and get out of here, guys. And it's been a pleasure having you guys here. It's been a great show. Thank you. And
of course, it's been a pleasure having us here.
Yeah, thank you.
We're fantastic.
It's been fun.
May God and the angels bless you every day and give love where love is given. Donations are very appreciated. Any kind of donation you can give would be great. So just give us whatever you feel comfortable giving. I'm just saying, with Richard Palang and his products, if you donate $25, he'll give you a bottle of body wash. And if you donate $35 or more, he'll also throw in a bottle of body mist. Great spiritual products, and all natural, too, as well. So it's going to intense and increase that spiritual journey you're on. Just love it, okay? And we'll see you guys all later, and have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Mountain Time here on Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link. Talk a little bit about Atlantis a little bit too. So join us in, okay? Talk to you guys later. Bye.
All right. Bye.